In a very short time, we've been forced to reevaluate our values. Values related to employment, family, and home. As we come out of two history-making pandemic years, connecting with others is more important than ever. But it's safe to say that the way we can and want to connect has changed. We are not-for-profit professionals supporting adults to live, work, and grow in a rapidly changing world. Connection means that we need to work together to build and put into practice whole and multifaceted plans for our clients so that they can reach their own personal successes. For some of us, life is returning to pre-pandemic norms, where we work out of an office on a set schedule. Others may have no office to return to and may spend working hours on a couch or kitchen table in their own home. And some may be straddling schedules where they sometimes go to the office and sometimes work in their own personal space. These experiences are the same for our clients who are navigating a world that is still deciding what work-life will look like. How can we support them while adapting ourselves? Whoever and wherever you are, if you support adults in learning and life, the Getting Connected podcast may be for you. Join us as we talk through relevant topics that support you to do your best work. Grab a coffee, give us just a few minutes of your workday, and let's connect. Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley Hoth Murray, and you are listening to the Getting Connected podcast. I'm joined today by my insightful co-host, Gay Douglas. How's it going, Gay?
Well, you know, insightful is a good word to use today because many of our listeners may not be aware that we tend to do these podcasts a few at a time. So we've already received some very insightful information from our previous guests, and I have no doubt that our next guest is going to be even more insightful, or at least provide insight to our listeners for sure.
Absolutely, because today we are diving into a specific project that was funded by the Ministry of Labor, Training and Skills Development in the final quarter of 2021-22 fiscal year. We were very lucky, Literacy Link Niagara, to be part of the project. And it's always awesome to work on initiatives that create resources for the field. Why don't you introduce our guest, Gay, so we can learn some more?
My pleasure. Robin Cook Ritchie is a very familiar name to folks in literacy. Ashley was just saying recently that when she first started at the network, she saw this name on so many documents. Robin Cook Ritchie, written by Robin Cook Ritchie, developed by Robin Cook Ritchie. Robin has been helping support and coordinate the adult literacy field for a long time. And in fact, a number of years, Robin had contracts here with Literacy Link Niagara. And I believe, Robin, you had a couple of contracts at one time when we were looking at multiple projects. Those were in the olden days, when we had multiple research and development projects going on. So we know Robin well. She's actually, we're going to give her some credit here. She inspired the creation of our common frontline group when conversations around a common approach or a common understanding of assessment was going to be really important for individual LBS agencies to ensure that a learner transitioned. So that's the kind of personal Literacy Link Niagara history we have with Robin. Right now, and for the last couple of years, Robin has served, as the executive director of Lawback Literacy Ontario, LLO. We all know LLO is the provincial support organization for adult literacy programs following the Lawback way of Each One, Teach One. Lawback is famous for its wonderful training materials, instructional tools and resources, the New Readers Press, and Orca book publishers. She also actually does a lot of work through her consulting company, RCR Consulting, focusing on adult literacy and many, many projects for many, many organizations over the years. I think what many people may not be aware of about Robin is that she became a lawyer, and that didn't last very long. She fell out of love with the field and in love with adult literacy. So that has been a major boom for the adult literacy field as she left law to come to literacy from one L to another L. So welcome, Robin.
Thank you so much for having me today, Ashley and Gay, and thanks for the great introduction. I'm really happy to be here. And it's nice to be able to do this kind of new thing, these podcasts. So this is my second ever podcast, and I'm excited today to be here to talk about the OALCF, or Ontario Adult Literacy Curriculum Framework Enhancement Initiative that took place.
We couldn't have a simple term, could we?
Of course not.
No, like, you know, change for LBS or something. No. So thank you for taking on that massive project. Now, not all our listeners may be familiar with the adult literacy system, because what we found from looking at who tunes in to hear us is they could be outside of literacy and basic skills or LBS. Although I think this particular topic may be of more appeal to LBS folks. But let's set the context for the project. Tell us more about milestones and culminating tasks and how they work in LBS, and also why it was important that they be looked at and changed or enhanced, let's say, expanded.
Okay, so milestones and culminating tasks are one part of the adult literacy system that we have in place in Ontario. They're assessment tools that were developed specifically for the Ontario Adult Literacy Curriculum Framework, that big long name of the system that we work under. So those tools were developed to align specifically with that framework. That framework was developed over a few years, way back in the early 2000s, and the assessment tools were developed once the framework was put in place. So I'll kind of just walk you through what a milestone is and what a culminating task is and what the differences are. Like, a milestone is basically a goal-related assessment activity that's linked to one of the five goal paths that we talk about in LBS. And milestones are tasks that use real, authentic materials like documents, texts, or situations that are going to happen when somebody actually leaves the program, when they move on to employment or go out to other education or maybe do further training or just in their everyday independent life. So those milestones, they're kind of, I think of them as more of a finite tool. They're related to one competency, task group, or level in that curriculum framework. And I won't get into what all that means, but it is aligned with that framework. So within the system, the milestones are part of also our performance management in adult literacy. So we work under a performance management system, and we have targets and goals. So there's an expectation in literacy that at least 60% of the learners in a program have attained or successfully completed a milestone in a fiscal year. So that's kind of important, because they're meant to help gauge if a learner is making progress, and they also do link to performance management. So there is an expectation that a learner is completing milestones. When they were first developed in 2012, there were 60 of them developed. So in that initial rollout, there were 60 of those tools developed. And that sounds like a lot, but it actually isn't that many, because we have five different competencies. So they were spread out amongst those competencies. In 2014, after they've been used for a few years, there was a new set, not a new set, but an adaptation of 22 of those original milestones. And that adaptation allowed for some of the milestones to be used with learners that had limited reading skills, because reading wasn't what was being assessed with that particular tool. So I mean, there was an adaptation done, but we were still limited in the number of milestones that we had in place. And of course, they were initially rolled out in 2012, and it's now 2021 when we start talking about this new project. So that's a long time to be using the same tools. They're still good. They're still relevant, but you just need to evergreen or refresh things over time to keep them relevant. Yeah. So, and of course, I just know our system is delivered in both French and English. And that's important to know because the milestones and adaptive milestones are available in both of those languages. So that kind of gives you a snapshot of what a milestone is. Do you have any questions about that? Is that clear as mud for what a milestone is?
Well, I think you've explained it well. And I think that many of our audience, I was just thinking as you were chatting, many people who may be new to LBS may not have ever had that explained to them. And to me, it's all about the context, right? Where did this project come from? Well, it has some history. So that really helps for sure.
Now, great. Okay. Go ahead.
Maybe you could speak a little more to why it was time. Why was it time to expand them? And I've heard some stories from our local practitioners, but I'd like your take on that.
Well, I think, there is a very finite number developed, and it didn't cover everything that the framework would cover. The framework's pretty expansive, and it was developed that way on purpose. It was developed in a way that hopefully it would be expansive enough that everybody in a literacy program could see themselves in that framework. It was meant to give practitioners enough leeway. They needed something, you know, to kind of hang their hat on, but it also gave them enough leeway to be able to meet those kind of goals that maybe were a little outside of the box, but still important to make help a learner progress. So literacy, the adult literacy program does a lot. So when you have a finite number of assessment tools, I mean, they're not going to cover every eventuality and circumstance, and they're not going to be relevant for everybody. So with the milestones in particular, One of the asks from the field was to actually allow for the cultural streams to have a little more input into developing their own milestones. So that was another kind of piece of this in terms of what happened in the development phase.
That's definitely an improvement then.
Yeah, for sure. The culminating tasks, so there were kind of two arms to this, and just to give you some, do you want some context on the culminating tasks as well, historically?
Yeah, that would be really great.
Okay, so culminating tasks are, a milestone's a very small assessment activity. It usually would only take a learner, you know, anywhere from 10 minutes to half an hour to complete, depending on the complexity of it and the level it was at. Culminating tasks are much more complex assessment activities or tasks, and they incorporate multiple competencies and task groups. So they're not limited to one small part of the framework. They kind of cross different parts of the framework, the way real life, you know, you aren't always just reading something. You're reading it, you're thinking about it, you might be writing about it.
Researching it, applying
exactly.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, so the concept between a culminating task was that they were meant to represent the end point or the transition point of a goal path. So they were meant to kind of reflect that a learner was ready to leave the program. So we have five goal paths in LBS, and they are employment, independent, secondary school credit, post-secondary, and apprenticeship. So learners who come into our program are typically on one of those five goal paths, and the culminating tasks are associated with particular goal paths. They're really meant to give the learner and the practitioner an idea of whether or not the learner is ready to move on from the program. But I mean, again, it's only one measure. There's all sorts of other things that happen in a program to make sure a learner is ready to move on. So in 2012, again, initially there were only six culminating tasks developed. There were one for each of the five goal paths. For apprenticeship, it is considered The skills training programs that happen that aren't necessarily apprenticeships are part of that goal path. They're kind of like a sub part of that goal path. So there were two developed for apprenticeship. One was skills training, one was apprenticeship. So six in total. In 2014, when they did the adaptation of the milestones that I spoke of, they also developed 12 additional culminating tasks because six was very limiting. They didn't apply to a lot of learners with one per goal path. So at that point, we had 18, but 18 still not a lot. So with culminating tasks, they're a little different than milestones in that while they're being tracked, they aren't included yet in the performance management system. So we're tracking whether or not people are doing culminating tasks, but to date, they haven't been part of the quality of performance management. But I think that's through this project. With culminating tasks, we know they haven't been used that widely to date. So I think that was also some motivation to do more development. They're a lot harder to develop. They're very complex. They have a lot of components. Right. But like, if you look at data for say, like the last 4 years in LBS, because we do track the data, although it doesn't count, only about 10% on average of learners in the whole province will complete a culminating task. And that's because there's only 18 of them to pick from, and they don't apply to a lot of learners, if that makes sense. So I think that was part
of it. Total sense.
Yeah. And I think also there was a lot of, in terms of needing more culminating tasks, that was a big component of it. Also, we're part of Employment Ontario, so there was a large focus on needing more milestones that applied to specifically the employment goal path and then that apprenticeship goal path, which also includes the skills training piece.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and when I think of assessment, Robin, in adult literacy versus other types of education, it always comes to mind that we're often focused on making sure that the documents are relevant to the learner goal path, where they want to go. They can kind of see themselves in the document. And for me, that's what was missing. When you have 18 culminating tasks, you can't be relevant to, you know, even half of the clients that you're serving. So why, as a practitioner, would I pull a document and assess them with something that really doesn't speak to them after I've been trying to do skills upgrading with them through relevant documentation and things that they're going to use and that they can connect to life after literacy? And the culminating tasks were just kind of missing that.
Absolutely. I think that was a big issue. And I think the intent when initially these things were rolled out back in, 2012, 2014, I think there was definitely an intention to do further development work sooner than 2021, but there just wasn't an opportunity from the ministry perspective. There weren't funds available to do that work. I mean, we know all about the funding issues. So I think it was tied to that. And at the opportunity, I think that the ministry had access to those funds. They did the best they could to get them out to the field to address some of these issues. The timing, however, was really challenging.
Okay, so now that we do have a bit of background on milestones and culminating tasks, let's talk about the timing, the development of these new milestones and culminating tasks that you coordinated earlier this year.
Okay, so I mean, this project honestly came out of a couple of years ago, there was the cathexis report, which if you're in literacy, you'll know what that was if you were around then. There were a number of recommendations that came out of that report. And a process was initiated where roundtables were started, provincial-wide roundtables. And I was the co-chair. I was invited to co-chair one of those roundtables that had some relation to this work that later happened. But that was, I can't remember. It was like, 2019, 2018 that happened. And then that work got stopped for whatever reason. It doesn't, I don't really know. So some of the recommendations were really around these assessment tools and the need to, like, you know, make them add more, make them more relevant, do some work with them. So when the ministry had the opportunity and actually laid their hands on some funding that could support this work, which was late in 2021, they approached us. I had been coordinating kind of that table with one of the ministry people. And they said, you know, would LLO be willing to coordinate a project where the support organizations across the province, and there's 26 of them, including LLO, could develop milestones and culminating tasks, new milestones and culminating tasks. And I said, yes, of course, because I wanted to make sure that the money flowed and that we had the opportunity to do it. I knew it would be challenging. So because, you know, there were a number of things, it was meant to be an inclusive process. There was hopes that all regions, streams, and sectors would be represented in the process. And the goal was pretty high. It was to develop around, you know, 26 new milestones and 30-ish new culminating tasks. And there were some other things attached to it. So the focus for the milestones was really on having the cultural streams be really involved in the development of those milestones, as well as the sectors, but to make sure that they could develop milestones that made sense for their streams. And the focus for the culminating tasks was really on employment and apprenticeship. And it made sense for the regional networks to do that work as they could develop things that were regional, like more regionally relevant with respect to employment. But I mean, they'd still have applicability across the province. So I said, yes, kind of crazy, but I wanted it to happen. So we had to hit the ground running, like literally. We didn't get the official funding until November 15th for all the organizations. And of the 26 that were invited to participate, 23 decided to participate. So almost all of the organizations did decide to participate, which was great. So yeah, our role was very vague. I had a vision of how to try to make it work. I've had the opportunity, the luck that I've worked with many of these organizations in the past. Starting actually when we really started to do this and coordinate together as regional networks and support organizations was a project that Literacy Link Niagara held way, way back that I worked on. So that was one of the projects Gay spoke of. So, I mean, I've been around for a long time and I knew most of the players. There were some new people though. So we had to do training. One of the things that hasn't happened since the initial rollout of the OALCF back in the early mid 2012 or whatever, is that there hasn't been any additional formal training. So we know there's like a huge turnover in the province. And the intention here was to have those support organizations bring in practitioners and programs to do this development work. So I don't know. It was, in my mind, it wasn't just about developing the tools. It was also about actually providing some support and training across the province. That's just my training thing that I'm always kind of pushing. So I set it up like that. We made sure that we had training put in place for everybody, you know, supports as best as we could. And like I said, we hit the ground running. It was a lot of crazy coordination, but I think what was phenomenal is everybody really pulled together. And, you know, it wasn't that easy, but everybody showed up to the meetings. Everybody, you know, we kind of dropped everything to do this.
Yeah.
To make absolutely. Sure it could happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to be clear, funding rolled November 15th, project 2021, project wrapped March 31st of 2022. So we're not even talking 5 months for, you know, developing these tools. When you say correct. You hit the ground running, I mean, you were sprinting.
Yeah, Correct. And I mean, not only that, in the midst of all of that, we had business planning for all of those organizations. We had Christmas break.
Right.
So it wasn't even 5 full months. And the reality is we had to be finished the development by mid-March so that there was an opportunity to then take what was developed and make it accessible. Like there was that, you know, 2-week window to do that. So accessible to the field, because that was the expectation.
Yeah.
And which we did.
I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing to be, as I said, Literacy Link Niagara. We were part of the project. We developed 2 culminating tasks. But there was clear expectations. There was enough training so that you really understood what you needed to produce. But what was interesting, as you know, someone that was participating in the project, was we were then able to go back and develop these culminating tasks the way that we do work in Niagara. So for example, we kept the work in-house, like the culminating task was developed by current staff of Literacy Link Niagara, but then we reached out to create an advisory committee of practitioners, people that have been in the field for a long time, as well as we had a newbie that could kind of look at it with a different lens, so that we had as much collaboration as possible to really produce something that we felt was well-rounded and spoke to the kind of work that we do in Niagara. And then, you know, across the province, you could have somebody doing the same work with the same integrity and the same quality, but they took it. They created it using methods that they typically would utilize in their own community. So we were all working towards this common goal, but we all kind of did the flexibility, it in our own way.
Right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
We had the flexibility to do it in our own style.
Yeah. Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, like within reason, I mean, everybody, you know, like we did, there was some parameters around what was expected, but yeah, that was the goal was to make sure that the tools that were developed really were inclusive and reflective of what the reality was, what people were really doing in programming and what they needed to be doing in programming, so that we had, you know, like the old tools still work for a lot of people and in certain situations, but now we have a better range of tools. Like the diversity of what was developed is actually quite phenomenal when you look at it. It was neat. It was, you know, it was not without challenge and stress.
Absolutely.
But it was pretty cool. So, and in the end, like we ended up developing as a collective 30 milestones, and they went across, and without us, like there was no, with milestones, we didn't say you have to develop 1 for this competency and 2 for that competency. We didn't do that at all. We did them by level. So we did make sure that they were done across the range of the 3 levels. However, what we didn't do is say what competencies. And interestingly, we ended up with a really nice distribution across all of the competencies. I think I said there were 5 before, there's actually 6. So that was nice. And with the culminating tasks, we ended up as a collective, again, developing 33 culminating tasks, which is great. And again, the goal was really to focus on employment and apprenticeship. However, we also specifically had 1 developed for independence, 1 for secondary school credit, and 1 for post-secondary as well. So there were 21 employments, 1 for each of those others that I just mentioned, and then 9, 5 for apprenticeship, 4 for skills training. So a really good range and very diverse and different. And I just a great selection of tools, I think, that we have to choose from now.
Yeah, that's very cool. One thing that I do want to point out that I thought was really interesting about the project was when you talk about sprinting, is that we got word that this project was coming down the pipeline, and we were asked to commit to creating 2 culminating tasks. And I remember thinking to myself, if somebody asked me what a culminating task was, I could tell them, but I've never seen one because, you know, they're kept under lock and key. So it's, I mean, even now, like talking about it on the podcast, I can't give you a link to look at a culminating task or a milestone because these things are, they're standardized and they have a scoring system that, you know, is really protected. It keeps the tool's integrity so that you can use it with multiple learners. So I think that's important to point out that they are, you know, they're housed in a way that, you know, keeps the privacy of the tool so that they can continue to be effective for multiple learners.
Yeah, that's right. They're kept on a repository that actually Contact North hosts. So Contact North is their role. They participated in the project. Their role was primarily to at the end this piece where they were putting them into the repository. And yeah, they're still there. So in order to access the repository, there is a process where you can get to them. If you're a practitioner, you have to like not apply, but send an email and they will confirm that you're part of an LBS funded agency before you can have access to those tools. I do think what was kind of great about this though, in terms of access, is that the support orgs were now given access to the tools so that they at least can see what they look like because they've never had that in the past. Yeah. And it allows them to provide better support to the agencies that they're supporting now that they are able they have been able to access the tools. So the repository right now, most of the tools are up there. Almost all of them are up there. Interestingly, you can use culminating tasks right now. All the new ones are there. You can use them because of the way we report on a culminating task, which is only at exit for a learner. And it's a ticky box. It doesn't actually, you don't choose the one that you did in the reporting system. You can use all of those right now. The milestones are a little bit of a different situation because they haven't been added into our performance management system yet. The online system called EOIS CAMS. So they're not there. They haven't been able to integrate them yet. So if somebody does one in your program, you're not able to report on it. Unfortunately, we were hopeful that it was going to happen in a May release, but it's June now. So that did not happen. I checked. So we're still waiting for that to happen. The other thing that hasn't happened with the tools that will be happening is the translation. So there's going to be cross translation with the milestones. 18 of those 30 were developed in English and 12 were developed in French. And they have to be cross-translated and adapted so that all 30 are available in both languages. With the culminating tasks, they were all developed in English, but they will be translated and adapted into French as well, sometime hopefully in the current fiscal.
Great. So we should be
seeing all of the tools. I know the field will really welcome this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, marvelous. I'm going to... ask a question for you. This is the final question that we always ask every single podcast guest, and it's a little nebulous for a reason. We would like you to sort of interpret this and answer from your own frame of reference. And that is, and another note, this is important for you to know, Robin, that when we ask you this question, it may or may not be about your topic and your conversation today. What is the one tool, the one material, the one approach, the one resource that you wish people used more often? I'll leave it with you.
Oh, that's easy for me. I've got a good answer for that. So, I mean, obviously, I have a vested interest as Laubach Literacy Ontario in our own materials. We run a bookstore as a social enterprise. So I would say that's a great resource to go to if you're looking for materials. However, those are materials that people have to purchase, and we know that not all agencies have that ability. So on the flip side of that, if there is one thing I wish people would be, I don't know, use more, but be more aware of, is something that our organization has been working on for a number of years with Community Literacy of Ontario. Contact North is also a partner because they host it. And that is a site that we have called the, it's called the LBS Literacy Resources and Discussion Forum. And which is a long name, but it started out as a forum. It actually started out as two discussion forums, which we combined. And then after a year or so, we thought, we talked to people and we thought, what would make this better for people? And what we came up with from talking to people is a place where as many resources as possible that have been developed are accessible all in one place. So a few years ago, we started working on this, and what we've done is we've developed a searchable database of tools that are available to people. We restrict really on here things that are available for download or free of charge. So, and we try to incorporate the actual resource where possible so that the link doesn't become a problem later on. And it's arranged by the goal. Like, we have different categories. We have the goal paths, we have assessment, marketing, administration, PD, digital literacy as different categories. All the resources are that we've put on there are also annotated. So it gives you a little brief, you know, annotation of what the resource is. So I feel like that is somewhere that I wish people would be more aware of, because we've worked really hard to try to bring those resources together. Wow. And we've been building on it every year. So we add 80 to 100 resources each fiscal year to that. So it's basically a website. It's actually built on a Moodle platform, but it is a website that people can access. And very recently, I threw a calendar up on the landing page. And what I'm trying to do is feed all the PD across the province into that one calendar.
That's amazing. Well, I can tell you, you've educated one person today, and that's me, because while I was aware of it, I have not visited it. So please, Robin, do us a favor, and there will be notes that accompany this podcast, correct, Ashley?
Yeah, we'll link it in the show notes.
Show notes.
Listeners can click.
And say it again. Tell me what it is called. I know it's a long name, but people listening will probably want to scratch it down.
Yeah, it's called LBS Literacy Resources and Discussion Forum. So the primary focus of it is the resources. We do still have an open discussion forum on the site. If people throw something in there, I usually respond to it or facilitate that discussion. And then, of course, the calendar. I'll send you the link. If you
awesome.
Want.
Perfect.
Actually, yes, please. Please
yeah. Throw it. Yeah. I am going to actually throw it in the chat right now for you too. Oh. But it's something that we've really been like, we used to have in literacy nationally, this thing called the National Adult Literacy something. It was called NALD database. And it hasn't been funded for years. No. So it certainly isn't as robust as that particular site was, because we're doing it a bit organically, but it definitely has a lot of stuff in it and it is searchable. So within the categories, you can put in a topic or on the site and it will pull up, different resources that you can kind of peruse. So it's meant to really help practitioners across the province.
Well, guess what's going to be viewed and discussed at our next Common Frontline group that you helped create, Robin, is this latest resource. That's marvelous.
Yeah, it's a great tool to share. I think that this episode as a whole, it's really good for all practitioners, but it's a great episode for newer practitioners to listen to. And they get to end with a new resource that maybe they weren't aware of that will help fill and demystify the LBS world, because I speak from experience where I think that it takes approximately 2 years to really feel like you know what's going on when you first get started. But Robin, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining us today. And I also just want to thank you for doing this amazing work. It really, to coordinate all of these programs, to develop tools that will be used for years and years and years, for the benefit of our learners. I really I think that you need to be commended for that, because it's such an amazing 5 months that you really pulled the whole sector together. So thank you very much, Robin. And thank you so much for listening, listeners. We look forward to getting connected next time.